Hello and welcome to Dunktown, the podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata.
And today we have an extra special guest. You know him from The Flagrant Ones and Hollywood Handbook. It's Sean Clements.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for having me, everybody.
Yay.
Thanks for coming on.
I'm sorry it took so long to get me on here.
That's okay.
You really tried your darndest not to be on the pod, but we finally ensnared you.
We cornered you.
I held out for a special event. This is 100, right?
Yeah. That's true.
It Congrats on 100 episodes. Come on. What was I going to be on? Like episode like 19?
Well, we did have you scheduled one time and you were like, sorry, my baby's coming. So that's not going
to
work.
The first time I was supposed to do it, he was being born.
We realized that you probably heard that we had started a podcast and you're like, shoot, I gotta like get my wife pregnant really quick so that I can have this baby as an excuse to not do pod.
It was a little short-sighted because the baby now is like a full-time thing and the podcast only would have taken me like an hour. So live and learn. I mean, and if this can be helpful to anyone else who's trying to find a good excuse to miss a commitment, balance your excuse with what the commitment itself would be, because otherwise you end up raising a child,
right? Which is that's a lot.
It's rewarding, sure, but it's definitely time consuming.
You were telling us about how he made a big mud pit today and then played around
today,
in it.
Yeah, well, because Anastasia asked me if I'd watched the Celtics game, and I was like, well, I had it on, but like the baby really wanted the hose in the front yard. Like he just kept pointing. He pointed at the door until I opened the door. Then he walked out and pointed at the hose until I turned the hose on. And then he just sprayed it on the ground until it was just a big pile of mud. And then he just like dropped into the mud, like just fell and got his butt and clothes covered in mud. So that was like the morning for me. So the Celtics game was on in my house, but I couldn't really see it from the like mud hose situation.
That's like its own sport though. Baby mud.
It's true.
Wrestling.
Yeah. No.
To be fair, that does sound fun. Like if you didn't have to deal with the cleanup part of it.
Yeah, and the game was like a blowout, whereas like him versus the mud was a pretty even match the whole time.
We ask a lot of our guests this question, but how did you get into basketball?
Well, I was into sports, like really into sports as a kid, primarily through collecting cards. Mm-hmm. That was my big thing. And I had like baseball cards and basketball cards and all that. And I would memorize all the stats on the back and just like geek out. So it was like, oh, good. It's like a nerdy way to be into sports. And then I kind of moved away from it. And I was like, not really following sports too actively for I guess most of like my 20s. And then I started playing fantasy football, which kind of got me back in the same way where it was like, oh, I'm like following the numbers part of it. And then that was around maybe 1 or 2 years before I moved to LA, but like that kind of got me back into just watching sports regularly. And then when I moved out here, one of my first jobs, some people like had gotten tickets to a Clippers game and invited me to go. And so then I started going to live games, and then I got like way more into it because I would always watch the playoffs and follow it like, you know, a little bit throughout the season. But then I started like getting really, really excited about it. And I was made friends with Hayes too, who when I met him was blogging for ESPN True Hoop for the like Celtics blog. So all those things kind of combined to like get me more into it. And then also at that time Clippers tickets were cheap, so I like went to the game, and I was like, I hadn't been to a basketball game. We went to a lot of hockey games when I was a kid. The Hartford Whalers, rest in peace. But I had never been to a live game, and I was like, oh, this fucking rocks. And it wasn't that expensive, and so I started going more often. And then Hayes and I got tickets together, and that was it.
Yeah, you're a season ticket holder now, right?
Yeah, half season, but yeah, we have been for 6 or 7 years.
So did you get? Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it's really funny that this year they actually have a shot at like going very deep in the playoffs or possibly going to the finals. Mm-hmm. My tickets are worthless because there's no fans for the game. So it's like I've been going to watch them just like brutally disappoint their fans year after year after year. And then now when they're like very good, I can't see it. But that's okay.
Did they offer you the virtual seats?
Or as yes. Edgar was on here last week and he said he picked a package that they offered of like t-shirts or like, yeah, something that sounded very anticlimactic. But he was like, I don't want to be on that virtual seat cam.
I got an email to like register to be a virtual seat, but it felt to me like an obligation. Like, I was like, I could watch on television, which I'm sure is better, and not be worried about like cheering or any, or like watching all the time, or my like Wi-Fi having issues. So I was like, no, I'll just stay home.
You just have to be posing the whole time when you're on there. Like,
yes, I would be worried that I'd have to be posing and flexing the entire time.
Exactly.
I was on screen to look like the strongest fan. But they sent me like a couple jerseys, like playoff jerseys, and then
oh, that's cool.
And then something else, but a little care package. Oh, it was popcorn. It was like caramel corn.
Oh,
that was the other thing they sent me.
That is, yeah, he mentioned the popcorn too.
Yeah, but Edgar mentioned popcorn, but for some reason, saying it's caramel corn like pumps it up a level. It's like,
yeah, I was just
okay,
thinking, like,
I'd go for that
bag.
It
of
certainly
popcorn.
Did for my wife. Yeah, she was like, "That's mine."
Nice.
And I, yeah, so I wore the jersey for one of the games, and it made me feel like I was right there in the arena.
Did you get to choose one of the catchphrases?
No, it just says, it's just like the number 20 on the back as if it's like 2020.
Oh, okay.
I think it says like Clippers. But yeah, but we, so Hayes and I had tickets together for like 5 years. And then this past year, we actually got a quadrant of tickets with Carl and Sean Distin as well. So that was really fun to have like all four of us. And I think I went to the last game that was people were at.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. They played the Bucks.
Wow, that's crazy.
We went to one pretty...
Yeah, right
like,
before...
Right, yeah.
Like, I feel like maybe that same week that everything shut down.
Yeah, I jammed in a lot of games that week. Because I also had gone to a Lakers game that week that
Amazing.
My friend invited me to because he had like a suite. And then he... got coronavirus like a week later.
No.
And I like heard that he was sick, and then I was in a fucking box with this guy for like 3 hours. But it turned out that he had gotten it. He knew where he had gotten it, and it had been like a couple days later. Really crazy.
That's crazy.
I know, right? He's fine.
Yeah. So you still yeah, that's great. Do you still consider yourself a Celtics fan?
Yeah, I mean, I guess some people, diehard fans, would say that I'm bullshit or something, but I just kind of think of like, I have an East Coast team and a West Coast team. Like, you know, my dad grew up in like Sudbury, Mass, so he was like a big Patriots fan and Boston Red Sox fan and all Boston sports teams. So, and I was in Connecticut where we didn't really have any pro sports teams. We had the Whalers who left. And then UConn, of course, like the women's basketball team is amazing there. And then the
Sun.
Men's basketball team had been good. Yeah, but I don't, but the Suns, I when
that started
did they
later,
start?
Right? Yeah, like, it was like 90, late 90s, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
And so I don't remember like really following them when I was there. Because we went to UConn games for sure, and the guys were good for a little while too, but I'm very happy that Kemba Walker's on the Celtics. But I just was like, I follow Boston teams, and then I moved to LA, and so because of that, I hated the Lakers, and I couldn't bring myself to like go and root for the Lakers, but I I really was like, when I went to that Clippers game, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I can like go to a bunch of games. And I think I first started going to Clippers games being like, this is an inexpensive way to see games and see the other teams. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't immediately like, I'm a Clippers guy. But, you know, you go to see them a lot. They start to grow on you and you know everybody. And, those are your guys. And then I got really into it. So now I do root for them. But I just think of like, I have an East Coast team and a West Coast team. I think that's fair. I think you should be able to.
For sure. Yeah.
And I mean, they meet in the finals, then, you know.
You got to choose.
Then you got to choose.
Well, it's like when the Red Sox played the Dodgers a couple years ago, and I was like, well, I got to go for the Red Sox.
Right. Makes sense.
I think people would say that, you know, like diehard fans would say that we're bullshit kind of too, because
oh, for sure.
we just kind of like the league in general and specific players. Like I have teams that I follow, but it's like many teams.
Yeah,
totally. Well, it's like, and that's a great thing. Like now with, you know, it used to be that you could only really watch your home team, like with like, you know, with just when it was just network broadcast stuff. But now with League Pass, it's like you could just pick a team and go, God, I love watching these guys this year. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to see whatever.
Right.
30 fucking Timberwolves games or something like, and now I have an affection for this team.
Yeah.
So I feel like that, like Portland, I got really into, and it was just like, oh, they're just so fun. They have these two little guards who can shoot from anywhere on the floor who are like really have good personalities, and it's just fun. So, you know, you get attached to teams that way. But I think also like, fuck off, diehard fans. Don't tell me how to root for.
I know.
You know,
it's annoying, especially because people move around a lot. And then it's like you pick up, you know, teams as you go.
Some people's position is you can never change, like you're not allowed to switch, or you should only ever root for like the team in the city you're from, like all that stuff. I'm just like, no, you just get to pick.
Yeah, I'm gonna do whatever they want, so fuck off to anyone who has an issue with that.
I'm glad they're mad.
Yeah. Okay,
I might take another team.
If you had to choose somebody in the entire league to kiss, who would it be?
To kiss?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It's another frequent question of ours.
and maybe more important than like which team you're a fan of.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Do they want me to kiss them?
Yeah. It's consensual. It's fully consensual.
Yeah.
I'm not stealing a kiss.
And No. It's It's they're on
into
board.
You quite a bit.
I mean, honestly, I have to say, like, this is so lame, but really for the story, it's like you gotta kiss LeBron because that's legendary. Like, I kissed LeBron James, like anything else. Like, I would say, I think that my guy who I think is incredibly attractive is Justice Winslow.
Mm-hmm.
I really like his look.
Yeah.
And then
he looks great.
There's been arguments before, you know, because there's that whole like text thread with Ariana and Owen and all those people that like rank the best looking players at each position. And I was like, I thought Zach LaVine as a two is like kind of a no brainer, but they disagreed. But anyway, it's not an attraction thing so much as like LeBron is like going to be, he's like one of the most famous people in the world, like certainly in my lifetime, he'll be like one of the most legendary figures. So if I could kiss him and he's digging it, forget it.
Yeah.
You dine out on that for the rest of your life.
Also, you're a pretty tall guy, right? Like, would you want someone to be kind of taller than you, or does that matter?
I hadn't thought about that part at all. I wouldn't want him too tall.
Yeah.
Then you're,
I wouldn't want to be getting up
neck.
On a stool to try to kiss Boban or something. But
he would hold you up, I think. That's his wife is tiny.
He just put his hands under your armpits and lift you up. kiss you.
But yeah, I'm like 6'1". I feel like comfortably LeBron and I could figure something out.
Yeah. Also, I agree. Zach LaVine is so handsome. When they were doing that weird like horse tournament.
Yeah.
I just was like, wow, he's very attractive. It just never hit me.
Yeah, he's got a look.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like Like an Instagram guy or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he looks a little, he's like, I guess he sort of looks like a fuck boy.
For sure. For sure.
But like, what am I here for?
Right. Exactly. You're not getting married.
It's a kiss. Yeah, you know what I mean?
A single kiss. He would know what he's doing, you know?
Exactly.
Another guy out of that horse tournament that I never really noticed before was Mike Connolly. Like, he's very handsome.
Yeah. I agree.
Just reminiscing about watching the horse tournament.
I haven't thought about that, but yeah, I guess maybe he is. I mean, there's a bunch of handsome guys.
Yeah. But sure. I think you're right about LeBron. Like, that is huge. Like, that's something that would be
historic.
On your headstone, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Once
no,
kissed
that's line
LeBron.
One of my obituary.
So I see you're drinking a beverage there, and you're notoriously a sparkly boy, right?
I am a sparkly boy, yeah.
What are you drinking?
This is a sparkling hop tea by a company called Hoplark. So it's unsweetened iced tea with, you know, seltzer, I guess, and then hops. I am famously sober. So this has kind of become my version of cracking a cold one.
Does it taste like beer?
Well, it's got, to me, like I started drinking these hop waters first that I like that were, I wouldn't say they taste like beer, but they are like sort of a savory herbal seltzer rather than like the sweet ones. And a little bit, the hops do have like, they're a little reminiscent of like a pale ale or something. Not totally. I mean, this is like sort of like a bitter iced tea that's sparkling.
Nice.
I'd try
it. I like it.
Yeah.
Go get one.
Sure, I will.
I feel so basic now. Like your drink is so complex and I just have a watermelon LaCroix.
I'm drinking the same thing.
Oh, yum.
Okay. Yeah, that is pretty fucking cute. Basic.
Wait, oh, Gabe has a Canada Dry, I think.
I have a raspberry Canada Dry. Yeah.
Wow.
Exciting.
Now, Canada Dry is not out here as much.
Yeah. It's hard to find.
Do you agree or disagree?
I feel like I haven't seen it that much.
No,
where are you
I haven't
getting
seen
that Canada
it.
Dry? Because that was my go-to drink in New York is I would stop in a little bodega and get like a Mandarin Orange Canada Dry seltzer. Big 2 liter and take it down to the dome.
Gabe's in Denver now. He moved.
Oh,
I'm out in Colorado.
Yeah.
But is
sorry,
Colorado
I didn't keep track.
Like,
no, it's fine.
Like east enough that they get Canada Dry? That sounds crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like you could find it in LA, but you'd probably have to dig around.
They don't. I mean, they certainly wouldn't have just a can of like flavored like that. They'll have like the ginger ale. Like the company exists out here, but they don't have the variety of. You can't get the nice little bottle of seltzer.
Right.
But I'm actually going to be enjoying a lot of Canada Dry soon because I'm heading back to the East Coast for a while.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? What are you working on a show or something?
Yeah, I wrote for this show that got, I was supposed to go to Boston to film it in March and it got like heavily delayed, obviously, by the pandemic. But now the network's going, fuck it, let's try it. So
wow.
we'll see.
Okay.
I mean they're not saying fuck it. They are, but they have a lot of precautions in place.
Are you gonna be in your own bubble?
It is. I think I should like get the Instagram handle of like AMC bubble life and try to like battle the NBA bubble life because it is sort of a bubble where it's like they kind of built all these locations that we were going to have to film on so that they can like do it all in the same like big giant building. And we don't have to go out in the world as much. And it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens.
Wow.
But I am dreading aspects of it. And certainly my wife's not going to like that I'm gone. And my baby, I would think, won't like it. I can't tell. But I am looking forward to the Canada Dry.
There's always a silver lining in any situation.
You're really going to be able to relate to the players. Like that's what they're going through, you know?
Yeah. That was another incentive for me. not just that I won't get paid if I don't go.
How long are you going to be out there?
I think it's going to be like 8 or 9 weeks now, and then get to come home over the holidays, and then go back for another 8 weeks in January.
Wow, that's a long time.
I know. Well, because originally when I was going, it was like, oh, but I'll come home like every three right. weeks. But now it's like, I'm not going to fucking fly home on a plane and then like see my family and then
right.
get
right.
back and go. And then they're going to make me like quarantine when I land and get, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
But it is like being a player. I think we get tested 3 times a week.
Amazing.
And we just like have, yeah, all this like, all these like checks in place.
That's so wow. crazy.
Little robot. They told me there's a little robot that cleans the air. This is true.
What?
That like every time they shut down camera that there's a little robot that's going to like zoom around and like suck all the air in and like clean it.
That's amazing. I want that for my house.
Seriously.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
Oh, we just heard a kitty meow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a cat meowing.
I'm
it's
so
old like, news for you, but we're excited about it.
I'm so starved for like animal interaction.
Anastasia, come see these cats. You know
I
the cats.
Want to.
Come see them whenever. They would love to hang out with someone.
Oh my God. You're just going to see me. You're going to wake up one morning. I'll just be in your backyard, like looking in at the cat house. But it's like, cause I would cat sit or pet sit and now mm-hmm. I don't do that anymore, obviously. And it's like, I got my fix, my pet fix that way.
Yeah.
It's a damn shame.
Well, these cats will need company, especially when I'm gone. Cause this is sort of my office and these three cats live in here. So I see them like all the time. But when I leave, I think they're going to be lonely.
Aww.
So talk to Grace. Maybe
I will hit
them.
Grace up for sure. I'll get tested 3 times a week just to come see the cats.
Please.
Hey cuties, it's time for another All-Star Review where we read the reviews that you write about our podcast.
This one is from Packers Fansky. The title is I Love This Game and This Podcast. It's so good. I laugh hysterically every episode and the takes are very good and so are the guests. Production is always hilarious. Basketball lends itself to comedy for some reason and they find it. It's in my rotation every week along with Air Buds, Round Ball Rock, Pod Don't Lie, and basketball.
Thanks, Packers Famsky. If you want us to read your review, just leave us 5 stars on your favorite podcast app and maybe we'll read it on the show. Okay, should we get into this? What's been going on in
basketball,
you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot happening in the world of basketball.
I don't know if you knew this, Sean, but our podcast is only a little bit about basketball.
Good.
It's also about sparkling water.
Oh, shit. I just got a citizen alert that there's a man with a blowtorch nearby.
Oh, my God.
He might be welding.
I hope so.
Is he just working at a construction site near you?
Yeah, I mean, downloading Citizen is, I think, made my life much worse, but also, like, I guess I should know that someone has a blowtorch pretty close to here.
Agata and I were hanging out, and her Citizen went off on her phone, and I said, what is it? A guy with a machete? And it was a guy with a machete.
It's literally what it said. Man with
wow.
machete.
This is, I guess, maybe like a basic bit at this point that everybody does, but Grace was pretty early to get Citizen, and she would just send me updates, like it would say, like, whatever, like, a man is, you know, inside a trash can on Olympic and Highland, and she would just send it to me and be like, why were you on Olympic and Highland? Like, no matter what it said, like, it would just be that it was me. It really made me laugh the first few times.
That's good. That's a great bit.
Mm-hmm. So I everyone like can use it with their friends. You can like text first and be like, were you, you know, were you at La Cienega today? And then you send it and it's like,
that's good. I am going to steal that actually.
Guy who smells is on La Cienega. Yeah.
Guy who smells. That's the police notice that goes out. Okay. So much happens in a week. We can't possibly cover it all. So we have a little segment where we wrap everything in a tidy bow called Previously on Basketball.
Last season on Bosch.
Basketball.
Shout out special to little Sean's drop dog. For Sean. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, is that a different cat or the same one?
There's
two now. So
Royal, and then there's Rex is here.
Oh.
And Quincy's on my backpack.
Angel.
My Bosch backpack, actually.
Oh.
Cute. All right, get into it, Anastasia.
NBA and WNBA players walk out in protest for racial justice, forcing days of game cancellations. Lakers and Blazers observe a moment of silence for the loss of Cliff Robinson, Lou Olson, and Chadwick Boseman. Damian Lillard leaves the bubble early, but will not need surgery on his knee. Giannis wins Defensive Player of the Year award. Coaches Brett Brown of the 76ers and Nate McMillan of the Pacers are fired. The Storm and the Aces are the first WNBA teams to clinch playoff spots. Balkan Bubble Boys become best buds. That last headline was clearly written by Gabe in order to test my
my Sally elocution. Seashells by the seashore. Yeah. All right, we got to talk about, I mean, they're calling it the boycott, technically a strike. Crazy historic week in NBA and WNBA basketball, where the Bucks did not come out to play their game against the Magic, and we've got a clip of them explaining why.
The past 4 months have shed a light on the ongoing racial injustices facing our African-American community. Citizens around the country have used their voices and platforms to speak out against these wrongdoings. Over the last few days in our home state of Wisconsin, we've seen the horrendous video of Jacob Blake being shot in the back 7 times by a police officer in Kenosha, and the additional shooting of protesters. Despite the overwhelming plea for change, there has been no action. So our focus today cannot be on basketball.
So the Bucks were in their locker room for quite a while, and then eventually came out to give the statement on why they were not going to be playing their game. And then, as you all know by now, that caused a ripple effect. And the other teams that were supposed to play that day, and then other teams across other leagues, also, you know, decided not to play. Very powerful move. Like Agata said, historic moment.
Yeah. And then they had some like league-wide meetings that we just got like snippets of on Twitter, where it's like LeBron walked out and, you know, this person was speaking and this, and Doc Rivers was speaking. It's like, I really wish we could have had a live stream of what was going on in those meetings, because I feel like it got,
I know,
a lot of it, I think, got like misconstrued too.
And
there was just, there's just confusion going out. And it was like Pat Bev was out here like being a huge asshole, and then everyone was like, no, he wasn't.
Yeah, that was great. Like, I first saw, because first it was like the Clippers are being like real leaders in these conversations, and then it was like Patrick Beverley's treating this woman who's like their general counsel like shit, and then like all these other players were like, who is telling you this? Like, this is not, because none of the reporters are in there, like there are no journalists in the meetings.
Yeah,
so it's then, just rumors.
Yeah, so then, but there was like 3 or 4 players being like, that was not said, which I'm like, I mean, obviously I hope it wasn't, but
yeah,
it's really crazy. I mean, the thing I saw that Beverly did, you know, reportedly do that I thought was cool is like they teams were split on whether to play or not, or players were, and he was like, get the fucking coaches out of the room, because there's a lot of guys in here who are on the bubble of getting like a contract renewal or whatever, and they don't want to say in front of their coach that I would be choosing not to play, and then have like one of these old white coaches be like, he's not about the team, you know? And then Doc Rivers stood up and was like, you're absolutely right. Like, come on. And like led the coaches out of the room.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So I was like, oh, that's cool. But then like the next thing I saw was like Beverly said, like, we pay your salary to this woman who was trying to explain what the financial implications were. Mm-hmm. Which also, I don't know, you know, we don't know anything from in there. If it was like a little bit of, guys, there's big consequences for this, like the money, but it's like, but it's the money for the owners too, and it's the money for you and everything, you know.
Right.
I don't know. But I thought it was fucking epic when the Bucks didn't take the floor and then everyone else was like, yep, we're going to boycott or strike or whatever as well. Yeah. And I was obviously bummed at the idea of them not finishing the season, because especially like with the pandemic and everything, basketball has been such a life raft of just like, yes, like something I like.
Yeah.
And I've been so happy watching the games, and I was just like, well, I think, you know, if at all they're like, we're gonna stop, like, good, they should. It's a huge statement. It's like really like hits the pockets of some of these huge corporate entities, which I saw like pointed out on Twitter, is like, that's like, that's our country now, is like that, you know. Somebody was saying like the Redskins were not going to change their name until FedEx was like, we're going to take our name off the fucking stadium and stop sponsoring the team.
Right.
And they were like, right, no, we'll change the name. So it's like, unless a huge corporation talks to some of these, you know, these like private companies, talks to some of these kind of political groups or whatever, then no one's going to do anything. So I was like, all right, great, this is cool. And I was really surprised how quickly the statement came out that they were going to resume the season.
Yeah.
Because it was too, like, there's going to be a meeting tomorrow at 11 with the owners. And I was like, okay, so then tomorrow night we'll find out like what, you know, what the owners are offering. And then like the next day we'll see what the players do. But then it was like, basically immediately that next morning, it was like they voted to resume the season.
I think part of it is that they were asking, you know, there's all these reports that they talked to Obama and other people sort of asking for advice. And it seems like the advice they got back is, what are your demands? Which I'm almost glad they didn't have demands in the beginning. It's like, we're just demonstrating.
Yeah.
We just can't take this anymore. And we're just gonna show you how we feel, especially because if you think of the basketball fan who is, quote, you know, like kind of like centrist or apolitical, and then also the ones who are maybe even, you know, kind of racist or anti Black Lives Matter. And then they're watching this like very powerful demonstration, you know, that's amazing. This is going out on national television. It's like,
yeah,
a big deal. But I feel like they got advice later on, you know, the next day, that was like, have some demands. And I think one of the demands was that they use NBA property to as polling places. So now Staples Center is going to be a polling place.
I think all the stadiums are now, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And hopefully the other sports leagues might join in too.
Which would be insane. Like if Dodgers Stadium became a
I think Dodger Stadium is. I think LeBron already had that. Like,
really?
He had been working on that prior to any of this.
That's true.
So Dodger Stadium, but now, yeah, Staples too, and all these major cities are going to have, you know, these huge polling stations where people can be safely spread out, and they can probably have multiple different like areas, like at every entrance or whatever.
Right.
So that's awesome. And then, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously like the larger scale demands or things they wanted are like breaking up police unions and stuff, which is like just such a long road to do. But hopefully they get some traction on that. I mean, people were immediately going like, you know, good, this is what Kyrie was talking about, which it is, but I have to say, if everyone took Kyrie's stance, and said, we don't want to play because sports are a distraction and we should be focused on like this national conversation about like the, you know, horrendous racism and like police brutality. Mm-hmm. That would have been powerful, but I think we would have moved on from it faster than they actually came and played the first round of the playoffs. And everyone was like, basketball is back and it's right. working. And we were like, holy shit, they're playing. And then they fucking stopped. Yeah, and I was yeah. like, that's so much more like powerful. Like you have such a bigger platform and there's so many more eyes on you than it's like, well, we're actually not going to go back. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I think that there had been so much distance from the last time there was a basketball game. People were kind of used to there not being basketball right. a little bit.
Yeah.
And didn't even know what it would look like when it started. But the fact that it started up and was going well, it's like, oh, shit. I mean, I know for me, it was like really like, you know, pulled the rug out. I was just like, holy shit. Like, they're not going to walk out onto the court.
Yeah.
It was also interesting. The like idea of they blindsided the rest of the league, like people were mad at the Bucks players.
Yeah,
and they were just like, you didn't tell us, but the Bucks players were going like, well, we're like the same as you said about them not having any demands. It's like they're figuring out on the fly. There's yeah. where I'm like, this doesn't feel right, man. Like, yeah. I'm not gonna go out there.
There was footage of Chris Paul because he's their union rep.
Yes,
there was footage of him walking to the court being like, why didn't they talk to me about this? Or, you know, you couldn't hear what he was saying, but he was visibly upset. And yeah. then there was reports later that he was upset that they didn't consult him. But I think, right. you know, number one, in their collective bargaining agreement, they have a no strike clause. So they can't strike, you know? So why would mm-hmm. you talk to your union rep before doing this? This is a wildcat strike. And then right. on top of that, he might have told them not to do it. So I'm almost glad yeah. that they did it this way. It took everyone by surprise, you know?
Right. And obviously it wasn't something that was planned out where they were like, okay, we're not going to do it before we bring basketball back, but we'll do it in the middle of playoffs. It was just like, right. like there's too much expected of them as players at this point, and they had reached a breaking point. And like, I don't feel like fixing all everything that's happening, like I don't feel like that falls on their shoulders, or like, and that's probably why they had no demands going in, because they're like, we're unhappy and we can't play under these conditions, and like, you guys,
the people in charge out, should be yeah, fixing
you
it.
You guys figure out something that's gonna like make us happy and want to play, I think, at least from their perspective, because it's like, now they have to be,
we have a collective of some of the richest, most powerful people in the country who like are relying on us to do something. We're not going to do it until they show us some, you know, kind of good faith. Like,
yeah, right.
It's really, yeah. But I did hear that Jaylen Brown at that meeting, like they were like halfway through the meeting of people like kind of being mad at the Bucks, and he was just like, shut up. Like, he basically was like, they do not have to explain to you.
Right.
Like, what they did was the right thing to do in mm-hmm. that moment. They did not feel comfortable going out and playing, especially being from Milwaukee and this right. guy being shot in, you know, a neighboring city. Like, right. He's like, they did, you know, they did what was right for them.
I think we have a little clip of Giannis kind of talking about their decision not to play. Is that right?
Well, I saw George Sterling. George decided not to play the game. And
George Hill, he's
talking
about.
He didn't put pressure to none of his teammates. Not me, the coach. Sterling decided to do the same thing. He came in the locker room, talked to us, and I decided as a leader, as Giannis, and that's who I am. I was like, I'm not playing this game. I didn't want to play this game. I told coach I'm not playing this game. I can't leave my teammate behind.
And it's so
I love that
sweet.
He referred to himself as in third person too. It's adorable. But he's the leader, obviously. He's the leader of the team. He's one of the leaders of the whole league. Yeah. And he's supporting his brother. So
also Sterling Brown,
the right move.
Sterling Brown actually was brutalized by the police, right?
Yeah.
It was him. Yeah, he So I totally get him being like, I'm not playing in this game. I can't, you know, like.
For sure.
It happened in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
He got harassed by the police and physically harmed. And then they like realized who he was later and were like, oh no, this is a guy who's rich. So like,
yeah,
apologized and backed off. But he was like, well, that shouldn't have to be the case.
Right. Exactly.
Because he hadn't done anything. So yeah, I'm sure for him, it was like, fuck this.
Let's watch this clip from inside the NBA of Kenny the Jet Smith later that night.
And for me, I think the biggest thing now is to kind of, as a black man, as a former player, I think it's best for me to support the players and just not be here tonight.
He just unhooked his mic.
And figure out what happens after that. Yeah, I just don't feel equipped to do that.
And I respect that.
Oh.
Ernie.
I respect that.
We cut away before Chuck takes like a big long sip of his drink as Kenny's walking up. Just obviously doesn't know what to do, but just like has his coffee mug and just like picks it up and takes like a big long sip as Kenny walks behind him.
Oh man.
But yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
It was very cool. It's obviously an emotional night for everybody. I was crying, like it was a lot.
You know, I was planning to have the game on in the background while I was working. And so it was muted. And I realized like, oh, the game should be on right now. And like, they're still doing shoot around, just the Magic. And so when I turned on the sound, all of the broadcasters were so supportive of the players. Like not a single person was like negative or questioning what they were doing at all. And then they all started to say their own stories of interactions with the police or just racism. And I was in tears by the time I decided to turn the TV off. It was just very moving.
Look, Chris Webber is just terrible announcer. you know, like in-game announcement, his observations are completely disposable at all times. he gave one of the most eloquent speeches, I mean, about this stuff, like his support for the players and his kind of, you know, illustrations of like how he identified with them. I was like, holy shit, like such a smart, thoughtful guy, like really, you know, showing his emotion. It was really powerful. I was just like, oh wow.
Yeah.
Why are you very like this?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really it was really impressive from everybody. And and can I just say, you guys absolutely have the right guest here to discuss these issues and this historic event. No one will have more right to speak on it than me.
We planned this.
Yeah.
As soon as all of this happened, we were like, we got to get Sean on.
Can we get a boring white guy whose dad is a cop?
Let's look at this photo of the WNBA, which, you know, the WNBA has been extremely vocal as far as activism. And we've got Maya Moore, who left the league because she wanted to, you know, do more important things when it came to activism. And that was way beyond before any of this stuff was going on this year. So she was a trailblazer. And I feel like the WNBA does not get the credit they deserve. So, I mean, they supported the NBA's moves on Wednesday night. It was no surprise. And they all got together into one photo. Let's look at it.
Sorry, this is a video.
Oh, sorry.
Special shout out to all of the women who are standing arm to arm at the IMG Academy, showing their complete unity and solidarity in this moment, that this is a league that stands together. They fight together. They play together. And this is the moment that they are using their collective voices to bring attention to the issues that matter to them.
And there was that, you know, almost as soon as the Bucks, it became clear what the Bucks were doing, the WNBA players that were supposed to play right then. They showed up with like hand-drawn shirts that said Jacob Blake, and had seven dots on the back, which I was like, whoa, that is very powerful to see.
Yeah.
The, you know, because he was shot seven times in the back. It was, yeah. Great job, ladies.
Shout out to all the ladies. Yes. Okay, let's take a look at these Balkan bubble boys.
Let's, on a lighter topic.
Yeah.
Let's get in here. This is the fun part.
Have you seen this, Sean? Yes.
I didn't see this photo, but I saw a different one, very similar. Of the, I guess these guys are all just like their own pod.
Yeah.
Because I saw one that I think Dragic posted of like at dinner with like Vooch, Nurkic, and Boban and Luka.
And I mean, look at
all these guys.
These guys, I mean, they've got the Eastern European features. These are, you know, my people. So I'm surprised that I didn't get an invitation.
Yeah.
We were having a fun conversation about like what they talk about over dinner. Like, yeah, this is the one that I had seen. Yeah,
cute.
This is so cute. Since they weren't playing games, it seemed like a lot of players were like kind of hanging out, just sort of discussing things together, and they just took this opportunity to have a real Balkan fest.
Yeah, I mean, they're rarely ever in one place at the same time, so that's like the fun part of the bubble, is that they can be like, okay, I know you're not doing anything else, so
well, because the teams only need one of those guys,
right? Yeah.
Any individual NBA team does not need two of those guys.
It's true.
But yeah, they were having their own conversations. I'm sure some people will see it and say, oh, all of the white guys in the NBA.
But Kyle Korver wasn't invited.
Yeah, it was only the, you know, specific kind.
Someone posted that they were like, I can just hear these guys like singing and talking and like I'm like, what?
Clinking beer glasses.
They are at camp. They are doing camp songs.
Exactly.
Oh wait,
putting
they're not,
on skits.
They're not allowed to drink, right?
No, I don't think they're... Is there booze in the bubble? I don't think so, right?
That I don't know.
Maybe there's Michelob. There's a commercial where there's a guy setting up Michelob Ultra in Jimmy Butler's like hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
So that probably happens, right?
Yeah, that must. I hope they at least have some Hop Lark sparkling hop tea.
I think at the very least, if they are drinking, they're not going to post it in an Instagram photo. So hopefully they're not, you know, hopefully they're not that dumb.
So let's take a look at where the playoffs are at right now. So most of round one is done. We just mentioned that the Celtics Raptors game one was on. Celtics kind of swept it or like blew it out. And then the Trailblazers just got knocked out last night in a very good game. I was actually quite surprised because with Dame gone and
I'm not even going to watch this game. But then Grace went for a walk. And so I was like, all right, let me throw the game on. Because I was like, well, we'll watch a show together. Uh-huh. Watch this. I said, watch this. I'll be this incredible husband. And even though there is an NBA playoff game, I'll go, what do you want to watch? Like, let's put on a movie or something. And then she was like, I'm going.
Is Grace into watching basketball at all or not really?
She is not like anti at all. Like sometimes I'll have it on and she'll kind of be mostly on her phone or something and I'll be like, oh, you have to see this. And if it's like as it gets down to the wire too, like when if it's like, you know, the fourth quarter of a finals game or something, she'll be watching like really intently. But I think one thing she does is like through the entire regular season, every time she walks into the room and I'll be like sort of like locked in, she'll go, is this an important game? Which is like a very hard question to answer throughout the NBA regulation when they play 82 games. It's just like, I'm like, well, it's two very exciting teams, and like they, you know, it could come down to like a tiebreaker for seeding, in which case they're in the same conference. So, but it's like, no, it's not. It's not like
it's this just, is such a good fun. Lawyer move on her part. Like she's not asking you. Like
she's not asking me to turn it off. She's right. not asking. She's just going, is this an important game? Like, why are you?
You have to justify your.
It's true. Yeah. I have to somehow like bolster it. But then, and when it's the playoffs, I feel like I always get to be like, yes, it is an important game.
Yeah.
So in the semifinals, we got Celtics, Raptors, Bucks, Heat, Lakers, and either the Rockets or the Thunder. We don't have that info yet. One more game for them, or maybe two. And then Clippers or Mavericks versus Jazz or Nuggets. I think the Jazz and Nuggets are playing today, so.
Yeah, Clippers and Mavericks is happening right now.
Right now.
Right. Yeah.
They're tied at 39-39, if anybody.
41-41.
Oh.
Gabe, check your Sean's internet. Ahead.
All right, let's play some of these playoff clips. Let's check out some stuff that's been happening in the playoffs. Let's watch what Marcus Morris has been stepping up to. Not good.
So
okay, slow. This is a slow mo video of the Clippers Mavericks game where you can see him hopping onto Luka's ankle in what looks like to me a purposeful way. What do you guys think?
I'm wondering why he's running. Like, I know he's probably like he's Luka's defender, but like, why is he running in that direction at all? Because the it's Mavs ball. They're inbounding it. I just was confused why he was there at all, if not to just step on Luka's foot. That being said, he put out a statement saying he didn't do it on purpose.
And he claims it wasn't on purpose. The video, I feel like, is very damning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it doesn't look good. Marcus Morris... What do you want from him? Like, he's Marcus Morris. He's one of the Morris twins.
He bonked someone on the head with a ball last season.
Yeah. Yes. That's his MO.
This is part of his thing. Is that he's a little bit ruthless.
Here we go. Yep. Oh. It's a really good gif.
I don't like it, you know, whenever anybody is trying to injure anyone else. I feel like, I don't know. It's like the fucking Clay was doing it to Harden through the entire playoffs, like putting his foot under him when right. he shot a 3-point. And like nobody's like, Clay's a dirty player. It's just like they do a little bit of this shit here and there. And I really don't like it. And he's busted. And I certainly, you know, I want the Clippers to win. I don't want them to win because somebody broke Luka's ankle.
Right.
Unless it's with a sweet crossover. you know, but I don't support it. Everybody's fine.
Yeah.
The shit they do, like where they, you know, somebody gets shoved when they're like on the rim, and it's just like, yeah, you fucking kill somebody, you break somebody's neck doing that. And
right.
this stuff happens constantly. And when somebody gets injured, it's really bad. You know, thankfully, mostly there's a lot of chippy stuff like this. I think that's like you slow-mo it and you talk about it for a week and then that's that.
Yeah.
It's fun for us to talk about the drama.
Do you have the clip of Kawhi talking to Reggie Jackson?
We were
that's the best thing I've ever seen.
Let's watch this.
Shot clock is off. Mavericks chance at the last shot if they want it. Boban and Kawhi just takes it away. The claw rips that one out of the hands of Boban. Clippers a chance to score the final bucket. A big game. 9 points in the quarter. Doncic.
Wow.
So Kawhi passes it to Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson does some very questionable move, tries to take it to the basket, and just
It's just Butterfingers. He just slips the shit
and like slides out of bounds. It's like everything's bad.
It's like the purest form of physical comedy. And then Kawhi says, "I didn't give the ball up for that shit."
Imagine Kawhi saying that to you.
Oh my god, I think Kawhi is like the funniest player in a very unintentional way. I'm just obsessed with him so much.
Yeah, he's fascinating.
Did you see the clip of him entering the arena where he was looking at his iPad, but then you could just see it was the home screen?
He's just pretending to be busy so he doesn't have to like look at or talk to anyone.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, amazing. All right, what else do we have? Jamal Murray. On a hot streak in games 4 and 5.
This was very fun to watch, this game. He really turned it up.
Plays by PJ Dozier.
Murray inside.
Oh,
incredible.
Yeah.
He twists around like three dudes.
Well, they just can't contain.
Does a little spinny.
So cool. Yeah,
it's like a ballet. It's beautiful.
He was really on fire. Interested to see. Because I actually... I messaged Gabe right before that game. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, but the Nuggets are probably being knocked out tonight. And then Gabe was like, Jamal Murray's on fire.
Yeah. He's an interesting player that way. Like, it feels sometimes you watch when you're like, this guy's a fucking all-star. Like, holy shit. And then, you know, for the first, whatever, four games of that series, it was like, where's Jamal Murray? Like, I don't know. And maybe he's somebody who's affected by playing without fans a little bit, or was in the early going. Cause I feel like he generally has stepped up in the playoffs for them and been pretty good, but he seemed to be trying to get motivated or something.
He is kind of a hot and cold player. Like, I've even seen him, you know, just before, you know, in past seasons, where I'm like, what is he doing right now? Like, I think he needs like to be in a headspace. He can't force himself there, it seems like.
Well, towards the end of the first game that he won, he was getting into it with someone. I can't remember, but there was somebody getting really like chippy with him, and he started like talking shit, and you saw him like getting fired up. And then he like towards the end of that fourth quarter, like brought them into overtime and then helped them win the game and was hitting a bunch of shots. And I was like, oh, he seems like he's like looking for a way to like, lock in and motivate. And then he was just kind of drifting the next couple of games. What do you guys think? So I remember when Jamal Murray got drafted and the whole conversation was him or Buddy Hield. They got drafted right next to each other. And then Buddy got drafted first and everybody was like, they should have taken Jamal, because they're essentially almost the same player, but Jamal Murray's like 4 years younger.
Right.
Wow. I love Buddy Hield, though.
I love Buddy Hield, too.
I do, too. Like, I remember being like, yeah, that was so dumb. And then now it's like, again, you know, Jamal blew up and is kind of emerging. But I'm like, but Buddy's had those games, too. I still am like, I think they're both good. Like,
they're equally good.
Yeah. It's sort of like, I thought one was going to be a clear bust, like it was going to be like, yeah, Jamal Murray's only 19 and he never rounds out, or but they both have like stayed on the exact same trajectory in a weird way.
Yeah, I think Buddy, I wonder if what would happen if Buddy were on a different team, you know. I feel like
the Sacramento Kings,
yeah, he would be shining, you know. And I don't
think say that about any player in Sacramento.
All right, let's watch this Dennis Schroeder, PJ Tucker video.
Speaking of getting chippy.
Yeah.
But watch Schroeder's hands right
there. Oh, punches him right in the family jewels.
Yep, there it is. And they're thinking that is unnecessary.
And PJ Tucker says, no, 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 no.
You cannot
It looked accidental.
Fellas.
Okay, it looked accidental. He wasn't trying to aim for it, I don't think. But it looked painful.
Yeah. I would be pissed too.
Yeah.
I'd be upset. I think Chris Paul did the same thing in like in one of these games.
Mm-hmm. But that was very,
very
deliberate.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
You can see a twinkle in his eye.
He famously does that. That's like a right. Chris Paul thing.
Yeah.
We don't have that clip, but it's. I highly encourage everyone to go look at it. Cause
I can't remember who it was, but Chris Paul, like, just goes way out of his way. Like, he's, like, I don't know if he's even part of the play, but he just, like, walks over and, like, punches a dude in the nards.
I think he has the ball, but he just, like, you know, instead of going like this to put, I'm, like, moving my arm horizontally, he, like, clearly goes down, aiming for, you know, the good stuff.
Look how many results there are for Chris Paul nuts.
Yeah, it's a thing with him. He famously, like, did it in college and has continued his ways in the NBA.
That's
amazing.
Bad.
He's a bad
boy. It's not what you want to be famous for, in my opinion.
Let's hear what George Hill has to say about why he missed the national anthem.
There's a specific reason you weren't out in the arena during the national anthem.
You want the honest truth?
Yep.
Okay, I take a shit every time before the game. I've been doing it for the last 4 years. If you go back and watch any footage of our previous games before we come down here to this bubble, that's what I do before every game. And, you know, so happened that you guys were snoozing in the hallways and called me coming back from my pregame ritual, and that's what I always do. That's not the truth.
It's almost more insulting than just saying I was boycotting the national anthem, right?
Oh, that's so funny.
I love it. So blunt. Do you want the honest truth? Yes. No, you don't.
No, you don't, but I'm going to tell it to you.
They were hoping for a different
the runway.
They're hoping for a different kind of soundbite.
Yeah.
All right, the last one we've got is LeBron and Carmelo at the end of their series.
We're ending emotional.
Very emotional, very sweet, these two.
Great game, Carmelo. I love when he hits his headband when he does a three just sweat sprays off of it with each hit. It's beautiful.
Terry Stotts. And the Portland Trailblazers, Chris.
They're hugging.
The end of the line. Hard-fought effort just to get into the playoffs.
They could kiss, right?
And look at
they're
this
so
picture.
Close.
I'm just enjoying it. Give them their flowers while they live. Those are kings right there.
That was so cute. It makes me want to cry.
All the Lakers and Blazers were like hugging after that game after the Blazers got eliminated. And I just, it just warms my heart. I love it so much.
Yeah,
also, Carmelo just looks great. He's such a cutie.
All right, calm down.
Yeah, he had a, you know.
You just told me to calm down? That's what the show is.
Are you imagining being LeBron?
I mean, I'm just imagining being able to hug another human being, and that's making me tear up.
He is such a cutie, and his hair is kind of long right now, so it's like headband mellow is like extra nice looking.
He's a cutie pie. Okay, let's get into our mail basket. Today we have a physical package in our actual mailbox.
Amazing.
Anastasia's got it. We're gonna watch her open it up.
So I already cut some of the tape because I was like, I don't want you guys to have to like
that's fine.
Watch
that's fine.
Me cut tape open. But this is insane. This is from Chris N in Florida. Longtime listeners will know him because he's an OG cutie. He's been
OG cutie
listening for a while, and he's a musician, and he sent this cute little note here. And just like a ton of his music, so many CDs and records, stickers, this like incredible sticker. I don't know if you could see this, but it's like a hologram Michael Jordan. And it says, hey, Dunktown, I ate the pizza, MJ.
I love that. Oh, that's so cool.
So the note says, hello, please find attach Permanent Makeup Music. That's his band, Permanent Makeup. And some hoops related goodies. He talks about what his albums are, and we'll put a link to his Bandcamp or something in the show notes. So check that out. We recorded the music for a new LP right before the year got weird, and we'll finish vocals when it's safe. His wonderful wife, Susan, did all the amazing album art. I love y'all's show and truly appreciate the mention. Sorry, his handwriting's not great. Sorry, Chris. It's hard to read.
This is now a roast.
You're on blast, Chris. Thanks for the nice note. Now let me destroy you.
Can we see the record and stuff?
Yeah. So let me show you. First of all, look at he sent clippings from a magazine of our beautiful Clippy boys,
our Clippers, and Clippers,
Pat, Bev, and Lou Will.
Cute.
The is Trez okay? Do you guys follow Trez on social media?
Yeah. Yes.
It's distressing, right?
What do you mean?
Why do you mean?
Isn't it just, I feel like he's constantly posting like, you can't trust anyone but yourself. Like, it's just like, it's always like, you know, like the real story will come out. And it's just like, what is going on, man?
I do feel like he's a dark guy. Like, I don't think he lets on, you know, maybe he does. Cause when he dunks, it's like so much, emotion comes out of him afterwards.
Right.
But I love him. I love watching him play. I'm just worried about the guy.
Was that like in response to all the Luca stuff where he called him a bitch ass white boy?
No. This is just like, this is over the past like 2 years I'm talking about.
Okay.
Like,
I see. Maybe he's got a lot of haters and they're just constantly in his messages, like talking shit.
I think he must.
I think he's got a dark side, and that's why he's so into sneakers, because that's like his light, you know? He's gotta balance out the darkness. Which I almost like that about him. Like, it reminds me of, like, you know, me in my teen angst, broodingness. It's like it takes a while to grow out of that. He needs some therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Here's some records.
Oh yeah, let's see. Oh, cute. I love
that.
So
he gave us some 12 inches, some 7 inches, and some CDs. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
He sent me a package as well. Records also. And so thank you. Yeah. His music is really good. It's like kind of noise punky. Give it
amazing.
A listen.
Thank you so much for sending it. If you guys want to send anything to our box, our mailbox, it's 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 105, Los Angeles, California, 90027. It's on our website, too. You can always email us at hi@dunk.town or call us at 903-420-DUNK. Sean, thank you so much for being here. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
I guess I'd just plug Montrezl Harrell's Twitter page, because I feel like I got treated like I'm crazy just now, but I'm reading some of these tweets and I gotta say,
what's an example of one?
I just haven't been paying attention.
These are three that are all like next to each other. The world we in nowadays, what is the correct way to live life? One step at a time. Swear to God, man, I just got pissed off with the shit I seen on here, man. When it's all said and done, it's levels, long as you remember that. It's like a lot of stuff where it's like, he's not saying what's going on, but
he's subtweeting.
He seems upset. That's all I'm saying.
You know, right. I think he needs to get off Twitter.
I'm sure he gets lots of people tweeting bullshit at him all the time. So maybe, I mean, it's the same with like Paul George posted that weird post on Instagram recently.
Yes,
that was
that's
like,
right. Why are you even thinking about me?
Yeah, why are you thinking about me? It's like, well, you're
famous a guy,
famous player in leagues in the playoffs. Everyone's watching you play.
But I'll plug the Flagrant Ones. That's a podcast that I do about basketball. I guess Hollywood Handbook, if people want to listen to that.
Yes, cool.
Everyone
should.
Take care.
Everyone
take care.
Everyone should take care.
Everyone should take care.
No, but everyone should check out Flagrant Ones. I'm sure most of the people who listen to this already listen to Flagrant Ones. Someone in our sent us an email calling you guys our sister podcast, which I love.
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are forever tied together because you guys had your 100th episode last week and we have ours today. So it's, you know, it's weird that our podcast started at almost the exact same time, but
we launched simultaneously. It was all planned out in advance. Yeah. We said the world needs two more basketball podcasts.
And we are actually launching our Patreon in a couple days. It'll it'll be open by the time you guys hear this episode.
So, it's on.
That's right.
Little sign healthy up. Competition.
Yeah. So unsubscribe from the Flagrant Ones Patreon and subscribe to ours.
Do you have any tips for us, Sean? We're so new to Patreon. Like, how do we, you know, keep them entertained?
Are we keeping them entertained? we're doing our best. I'd say, you know, the tip I got from someone else is like, you guys already do, you have so many episodes out. Like, we started it on Patreon. So, somebody told us that like every month or every, like, not every month, but every 2 or 3 months, like, to let an episode out or a perk or whatever you guys have out from behind the paywall so that like people can sample it and that, mm-hmm. that'll help like more people find you. Especially, I guess, if you have like a guest that people like. But how will you do it? Will you still be doing the free show or are you going to lock your... Yeah, so then what's going to be on the Patreon? Just people are allowed to support you.
We're going to have a Discord. Bonuses? Yeah, we're going to have a Discord. We're going to be doing like extra videos and other content like that. Like maybe some extra... Right now we're launching it like with two levels. We want to expand that. We want to be doing live streaming eventually.
We did live streaming, and actually that's one thing that this like pandemic like Zoom world has made way easier, because mm-hmm. it's just like you just do a Zoom conference and you can let people in to video chat with you if they have like a question you want to discuss, or otherwise you could just kind of follow the chat. But that I think is really good. I find it like easier and more fun to do. I think we have to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, nice. we asked people what they wanted, and that was the overwhelming answer. So we'll be doing some live streams.
They want to see all this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting a little preview, Sean, of what they'll be saying.
I'm getting it for free, which is cool.
Gabe, what is the URL?
Patreon.com/dunktown.
All right. There you have it. Sign up. Anastasia, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yes, I do. I'm just very unprepared.
Okay. Take your time.
You know, I think what I want to plug, other than our Patreon, everyone subscribe to that, obviously, is journaling. I don't think I've talked about this before, but like one of my New Year's resolutions was to start journaling. So I've actually started in January, but then like all this pandemic stuff happened and I was like, so glad I had this already as like a routine thing. Because sometimes like there's so much emotion with one person. Like, for example, everyone's going through crazy shit right now with the pandemic, with police brutality, with like just our government, like everything's very frustrating. So I don't want to completely unload on my friends and like, you know, even though my friends are great and they definitely let me vent, but like sometimes it's just nice to get it out somewhere, and getting it out in a journal is quite good. Also can be creative inspiration. So I highly recommend it. It's been really nice.
As long as you don't have an annoying little brother
who reads my journal.
Oh, yeah. And he sneaks in and he opens up the journal. Oh no. And then he tells your crush.
Well, I did write "For Anastasia's Eyes Only" on the front, so I think it's okay.
There's a little lock on the front too, right? And you only have the key.
It's just like, it's like a Hello Kitty journal, and it has like one of those little built-in locks. So, Agata, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I want to plug High Fidelity on Hulu. I've been watching it. It's so good. I'm very upset that it's not coming back for another season, but
Is it not? Yeah, I was curious about it.
They canceled it. It's really good. I recommend checking out the first season, but then you're just going to be sad that it's
sometimes
over.
I'm happy though if I know something's not coming back that I go, I can watch the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll see all of it.
Yeah, I
silver lining.
I recommend it. Yeah, definitely check it out. It's fun. If you like the movie, it's fun. Zoe Kravitz is in it, and she's amazing.
So good. Yeah, I loved the book when I was in high school. I was like obsessed with Nick Hornby, and then I loved the movie. And I have to say, the show is better than both.
I agree.
It's so good. It fixes the problems that I now see with the book and movie. So
right. Yeah. So definitely check that out. Gabe, do you have anything?
Delete Facebook. I deleted my Facebook this week. Woo! It felt really good. I
deleted mine too.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe a month ago, finally. Yeah.
It feels so good. There's this thing I like to say. It's fuck Zuck. He's a bad guy. Fuck him.
He is a bad dude.
Yeah. Delete Facebook.
All right. That's our episode. Thank you guys, as always, for coming on this journey with us. We love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. For more Dunktown content, check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/Dunktown. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. I am on Twitter at @Echo_Mint and on Instagram at Agata Monica. Anastasia is on both at Anastasia Vigo. Check out our website, dunk.town. If you like the show, please write us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen. We always really appreciate those. We have t-shirts, stickers, hoodies, and more available for sale at dunk.town/store. Thank you to Andrea Tomingus for the Dunktown design, and thank you to Andrew Bear for our original music for the show. Sources and references from this episode can be found in the episode description.